You may be seated. Let us go forward in our dissertation. Amen. Right quickly, turn to Titus. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader, Titus chapter 3. Brother Deacon, for the sake of time, you have some time constraints this morning. Want you to, let's go to the Greek interlineal. Those of you who have Greek interlineals, open them. Those of you who do not, go to the various translations that you may have, whether it be King James or what, and follow along. I do have a couple more Greek interlineals upstairs, anyone care to get one. All right, let's go right quickly to Titus. In addition to this morning we shall look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Here we are, hopefully now in the home stretch of the general dissertation, the scripture doctrine of regeneration, which we have been laboring for a year or more on now, and we had gone through several aspects, including we had given you also excerpts. First of all, the scripture application of belief in repenting, and we had gone through that. Then the second document, the scripture application of belief in baptism. We spent time talking about that. And now, hopefully, you have the document we passed out a couple weeks ago. The scripture application of belief, surrender, confession, restitution, imploration, and everything else they're telling you you got to do in order to get God to agree to save you. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we move forward in that vein. We had started there last time we were before you. Yes. All right, let's begin. And we always go to Titus. The purpose of going to Titus and over and over again, and someone said to me, Pastor, as I listen to your tapes, it sounds like you're saying the same thing. Good, good. Amen. We want this to be indelibly impressed into your mindsets and your spirits as to what got you here.
Right.
Amen. Because whatever got you here, you got to depend upon to keep you here.
Right.
Amen. And it's so important to know that none of it had anything to do with you. You didn't do it. Oh, no, you did not. No. Nothing, amen, that you have contributed that is usable to God. Mm-hmm. He can't use your stuff. Amen. So we go there and we read that in order to document, and we shall continue to document. Men must come to know and to understand. You cannot even appreciate your salvation if you do not understand the eternal workings of it.
Right.
Amen. It will frighten you. Mm-hmm. It will depress you. Mm-hmm. Amen. It will discourage you.
Yeah.
If you don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You're looking in the wrong place at the wrong thing. You're looking at yourself.
Come on here.
And you didn't have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And the longer you look at yourself, you find the flaws and you find the bumps, and amen. You see, amen, the things that you do and that you fail to do, and amen. You see all of your flaws and all of your mistakes, and amen. If you start to put that into the formula of salvation, salvation becomes very shaky.
Yeah.
Amen. So here, our aim is to take this thing completely out of time,
right,
in eternity, yeah, where you weren't even around to mess it up.
Right.
You all don't hear me this morning.
Right.
All right. Deacon Titus chapter 3, for the sake of time, Brother Deacon, just start reading it, verse 4. Amen. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read.
Titus 3 and verse 4,
mm-hmm,
Greek millennial. But when the kindness and the love to man appeared,
my Lord,
of the Savior of us,
mm-hmm.
God,
mm-hmm.
not by works in righteousness,
my Lord, not by works that we've done, not by, you see, not by works. We weren't in it. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, if men would come to know and understand mm-hmm. that we were not in it. Keep reading.
Mm-hmm. But according to the of him mercy.
According to his mercy.
He saved us.
That's all. That's it. That's mm-hmm. it. God's mercy. God's grace.
Yes.
God's love. It wasn't
yes.
even about you.
Yes.
Hmm? Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything about you, mm-hmm. man, that caused God to love you.
That's right.
But nothing. Amen.
That's right.
In fact, all God has to work with is the prey of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
That's all of us. Mm-hmm. That's all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If it's not about grace and about mercy, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen.
It did.
You know, there's no basis, no reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. For God choosing and electing,
okay.
placing you mm-hmm. as sons, adopting you. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Son positioning you in the body of Christ.
Right.
I mean, nothing, nothing. When we look at the human makeup, amen. What do you think God saw in you? He must have seen nothing.
No.
Amen. A mass of depravity.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. It was the eternal purpose of God for his glory
mm-hmm.
to demonstrate and amen to document and to display the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, and how great his grace and how great his mercy
right.
to be able to love something like you and me.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
That's something. Yes. And so this is why a focus has to be on God, not on ourselves. Amen. And my prayer is that we would, that in this ministry and all ministries, that we take the personalities out. There's only one head and one personality. Amen. That should ever be exhibited. That is Jesus. If it's not about Jesus, it's not about nothing. Huh? You know, just take all of these personalities and faces, amen, and characteristics and pitch them. Amen. We want to see Jesus. We want to see the goodness of God,
amen.
The graciousness of God. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. In our gospel, he has allowed us to peek into the everlasting atoms of his eternal work wherein he saved us. He placed us in the body of Christ. Amen. To look and to see the glorious work of salvation of the Lamb of God being slain in eternity. Oh, my. Y'all don't hear me this morning. The blood of Jesus. Amen. Yes, we have the depiction and the manifestation of it flowing from Calvary. Amen. But, oh, hallelujah. That is just, amen, the revelation of what happened in eternity when he sacrificed himself for. Oh, my God. For those who were made and created the vessels of love and the vessels of mercy.
Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
goodness. When God created you,
yes.
he created you
yes.
and designed you as a vessel of favor. Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Here we are messing around.
Yes.
Fussing and fighting and going through changes in ministries and churches, amen, putting ourselves out there, amen, and focusing on depravity. Don't you know that the only thing that you and I of aside and outside of Christ, amen, is a putrefied mass of depravity. And so the focus must be on Jesus. The gospel must be on Jesus. The message must be on Jesus. All eyes must be on Jesus. It's all about him. Not just about him. It's all about him. And none about us. Keep reading. Amen. I got to look. Oh, my God. Keep reading.
Yes, Lord. Through washing
mm-hmm.
of regeneration.
That's how he did it.
And renewal, spirit,
The Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
and the washing, regeneration. Here again, we have a double genitive there. Oh my God, washing, regeneration, and so regeneration, as we have conveyed in the prior teachings, amen, as to what its composition is. It's not what we have been taught, amen, that on a certain day that we woke up in by some stroke of magic, we somehow got drawn into a mindset of wanting to be saved. And so we sought out a church or we sought out a minister, amen, and we decided to give our hearts to the Lord. We made a decision for Christ. And these are all of the things in this document and in our dissertations we have been trying, amen, to bring to the forefront, to demonstrate through the Word of God, because that's the only thing that counts, amen, that none of these are contributive entities, or components, I should say, in the enactment of salvation. Amen. God didn't, all the acts of men, God can't use any of them.
Amen.
Not even your believing.
Amen.
Are you surrendering?
Amen.
Are you asking him to be saved?
No.
Your baptism.
Amen.
Whether it's being sprinkled or whether you're being dumped, and regardless of what you're being saved, God can't use any of that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So our focus must be on what God did. Read that. Mm-hmm. Keep reading.
Which he shed on us.
Which he shed again as a clean.
Mm-hmm.
That Greek word means poured. Which he, oh my God, hallelujah. You had nothing to do. He poured it on you. Huh? When did he do it? In eternity.
In eternity.
Huh? Before we were around to act like we act sometimes.
Right.
God already fixed this thing and determined it. The thought and the way salvation has been presented in preaching and ministering, amen, is misleading in most instances. The Greek word polyenisilos, which is basically comprised of Pauline and Yenesi, which means again birth.
Again.
Well, when you say again, what that means is it's referring to something that previously existed. You say, I'm going to the store again. That means you've been there before, right? So when you start talking about birth and again birth, you're talking about a birth that has happened before. Oh, my God.
Amen.
So, you're speaking of the regenerating act of God in eternity giving you his nature.
Right.
Huh? Long before you were encapsulated in flesh in these bodies,
right,
God placed you in the body of Christ.
Right.
So yeah, we said again, and we're not shy about this. Amen. He saved you before he made you. Huh? Oh my God, hallelujah. And so what you were is more important than what you manifestly right now are, because what you manifestly are right now is temporary, amen, and the ultimate focus is on what you originally were. Oh my God. So we don't focus on the flesh.
Yes.
We don't focus on dust, and dirt that was formed.
Yes.
Amen. That will dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Ooh. Our focus is on the determined essence. Oh, hallelujah. That he made us sons of God, heirs of God, heirs of that which belongs to Christ.
Oh,
so no matter what's going down on any given day,
right,
man,
that's what our focus is.
Right.
Man.
Whether I'm broke,
yeah,
huh?
Yes.
Man.
Whether my health is dissipating,
yes, yes,
man.
Lord,
yes, huh?
Lord, that's right.
No matter what's happening,
uh-huh,
every day I wake up, I'm happy,
because
my happiness is in Jesus, and in Jesus alone, and what he has already done. For I know that even if this wind, I shouldn't say if, when this
left the house of this tabernacle is destroyed. I have a new building. Oh God, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank God.
Oh glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And we pray that God's people will come to internalize this. Because this is the only thing you really got going for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Everything else has an ending date.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was looking yesterday at a tape that Ellen Nicholson gave me. He had taped, amen, speaking about the earth. The earth is coming apart by the seams. I'm talking about the earth that you live on and I live on. You got global warming, and you got big chunks of ice in the Arctic just falling. And if all of it were to fall into the ocean would rise by 40 feet. Huh? Oh, my God. Huh? That which went down in Louisiana, that would be nothing. Huh? And that's just one of the things. We got bird flu. We got, oh my God, every time you turn around, you see the earth is getting hotter. Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh my God, as it gets hotter, it gets drawn closer to the sun. But this shouldn't surprise us. Through prophecy, amen, we know that the earth as it is right now has, in its form, has an ending. Yeah. It will be renovated. It will be changed. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. So our focus should not be on the things that are susceptible to change, but the things that cannot change. Woo! Hallelujah. That which is etched and set and immutable as God is. That is the essence of the unchangeableness of your place in Christ. So that when we go to homegoings and funerals, our focus, amen, it's not, oh, this is a great tragedy. No. Paul said, we don't weep as others that
have no hope.
Huh? If you don't have no hope, then you have a whole lot to weep about. Things are messed up.
Okay.
Amen. But if it's true to be absent from the body, it's to be present with the Lord. Amen. Huh? Oh my God. We're crying because of the broken fellowship, but we're celebrating because of the promotion. Nobody cries to be taken out of the old shack if they're moving to a mansion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Finish that up, Brother Deacon. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. All right, verse 6 again.
Uh-huh.
Which he shed forth on us richly.
Uh-huh.
Through Jesus Christ the Savior.
Oh, my God.
Verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
In order that, having been justified.
He read that correctly.
That's right.
Huh? Having
been
justified. The KLV says, having been justified. When were you justified? In eternity?
Yeah.
Said, no, I did. I was justified the day I believed. No, you weren't. No, you weren't.
Yeah.
You know what you're accusing God of when you say that? You're accusing God of doing things unjustified. You had to be justified when he chose you.
Uh-huh.
God was justified. And he could not choose you without putting you in the body of Christ.
Right.
Or else, why did he choose you? What was the purpose of the choice?
Right.
If he didn't place you in the body of Christ then.
Right.
Huh? If you weren't sanctified then.
Yeah.
All right. Hallelujah.
Oh,
I'll finish that verse 7 and then let's move on here.
In order that having been justified by the of that one grace, heirs we might be having become.
That's right. Now, he didn't just add something in there. You have what you call a subjunctive aorist.
Yes.
the probability, subjunctive mood, that's why he said might. That is speaking about manifestation in time. You have an aorist tense that it tells you that you have a past completed probability. Mm-hmm. It is probable because it hasn't been manifested, but it is completed and that it has already been determined. So you're not on your way to heaven. Amen. You're not on your way to be an heir. You are heirs of God right now. Joint heirs of Christ right now. Not based upon you or what you're doing and what you can't do. All of us mess up most of the time. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. Not about us. It's all about him. All right, in the document, the last one as we go into the home stretch. And I know I've been on this probably over a year now, but you know, this is so important. Mm-hmm. This is about who you are and
right.
Eternally,
right.
Amen, what you are.
Right.
Amen. In the scripture, application of belief, surrender, confession, restitution, and imploration, mm-hmm. Amen. Under the section, page 1, believe and surrender to God. Now, here's what we are militating against.
All right.
We're militating against all of these doctrinal, positional notions that you are a participant in the determinate process of God saving you. That is a very frightening proposition. Because if what you do is the determinant of getting you saved, then what you do has to be the determinant of keeping you safe. Here, we look at belief, say you must believe, and that gets them in trouble with the infant that dies. Mm-hmm. You have to make up another doctrine. Mm-hmm. Surrender, same thing. Mm-hmm. Confession, mm-hmm. Amen. One of the most ludicrous things that's out there being propagated by ministries is the so-called confession, amen, sinner's prayer. That you pray a prayer, and because you pray a prayer, you're saved. Amen. Restitution. How in the world, amen, can you make enough restitution to God for him to save you and keep you? Based upon what you were doing. When we look at ourselves, rephrase that. When we honestly look at ourselves.
All right now. All right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's got to be a frightening, very frightening
yes.
proposition.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes.
And then last, imploration. God saved you because you pleaded. There are many mothers, and I thank God for mothers, but there are many mothers this morning who think their child got saved because they pleaded and asked God to save them. Or that you got saved because, you know, all night long you told and you asked the Lord to save you. And morning, amen, I've heard testimonies like that.
Yeah.
The morning came and God broke open the flood and he saved you. Amen. You saw a light coming, and amen. You got lifted up into the clouds,
yeah.
and you knew,
yeah.
amen. That none of that works. None of that works. As we look at the aspect of belief and surrender,
amen.
It is of the utmost importance, and we said this before, to strictly examine and assess the unscriptural and incorrect application of certain ritualistic practices that are passed off as being orthodox, and they are adopted in the misconceived notion that these things effectuate and cause your regeneration. And so the process of of you being saved through regeneration is not like we just read in Titus. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, no. It's wrapped and tied around something that you participated in.
Right, man.
On a certain day at a certain time, yeah, in a certain way.
Right.
And then the denomination can't agree on what way,
right,
is the way.
Right.
Huh? Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Heard a brother say one time that I've been in the way 40 years. I said to myself, that's the problem. You in the way. Get out of the way.
Amen.
The focus must be on God. The subtle piousness and a prideful arrogance, mm-hmm, of certain diversified sectors of Christianity, mm-hmm, have established a confusing intrusion into the eternal doctrine of regeneration, mm-hmm, by asserting that salvation, mm-hmm, is conditioned upon one's self-initiated belief in Christ. Mm-hmm. And then they don't stop there.
No.
Also, they force the added demand, mm-hmm, that those who have believed through self-initiation, mm-hmm, must dedicate themselves to do God's will in their daily life in order to be saved.
Right.
Yes.
Lord, you know what's so confusing about that?
Yep.
And I've heard people for many years say so-and-so used to be saved. Mm-hmm. Ain't saved no more. Because they're looking at the action.
Right. Right.
So they started off on fire for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And now look at them. They've lost it. And then when such individuals pass, they said that they went to hell.
Uh-huh.
Don't you ever, never, 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 ever, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever, place any type of opinion upon who's God's elect are.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
No matter what you think you see,
right,
or don't see,
right,
in that individual,
right,
you are in no position,
right,
to make an assessment,
right,
of their relationship with God.
Right.
Right.
So right.
Thank God. Yes. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yes.
Because if someone will look at you long enough,
mm-hmm,
they could come up with enough evidence,
that's
to disqualify you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's so
I'm talking about you,
that's so true,
and me.
That's so true. That's so true.
That's right. Thank God. Oh, yes.
Now, when we teach like this, they say, oh, they're giving the people out to go and do whatever one minister said to me. So if you tell people they don't have to do anything, they won't. They won't. They won't do anything. Now, but see, the knowledge of God, you get this thing internalized.
Right, that's it.
Huh? It'll,
yeah,
stir up. And that's what it's
designed
to do.
Hallelujah.
Now, without a doubt, we make this statement that the desirability of those that receive salvation, the desirability,
mm-hmm,
of their dedication to God,
mm-hmm,
is obviously stressed in the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And I think last week, when we'll go through it again, take this down, and it's in the document, 1 Corinthians 4 and 2,
mm-hmm,
1 Corinthians 7 and 25.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it works. But I will make this statement, and the Scripture is more important to make this statement,
mm-hmm,
that those who have the perception and understanding by grace,
grace,
will do more,
mm-hmm,
than the old stringent,
yes,
traditional legalists.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Amen. Mm-hmm.
He will do more because of the motivation of why he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
The old legalists will do it because he He's afraid that if he doesn't, he's going to end up in hell. So now his works become like a fire escape. But the one who has internalized the graceful workiness of eternal, oh my God, love of God, will respond based upon the knowledge of knowing who he or she is.
Right.
And so it won't be about the organization I belong to, the church I belong to, or whether the pastor sees me or not, whether my peers are going to approve of me. None of that has anything to do with it. At that point, it's all about me and God.
Yes, absolutely.
It's strictly, exclusively about me and God. It ain't about you. It's about my appreciation for him. But these are the things that we must understand. Not because many are inattentive to the doctrines of grace, they're easily led to suppose that their self-imposed dedication is imperative to their position of status in Christ, rather than that which accomplishes is annexed to maturity in the growth and development aspects of their manifested earthly walk. So you're not doing this thing, and the process is not to save you because you were saved in eternity, or keep you saved because that which is done in eternity is complete. But it's the aspect of your growth and development in Christ. That's where our focus is. I had a pastor said to me one time, "Ooh, sure is a hard job trying to keep the saints saved." I was like, excuse me, what? As a pastor, I wouldn't spend 2 minutes walking around trying to look and see what nobody's doing or keeping a. Some of these guys, I think they lost their mind. Who's keeping a record on you? Well, they're keeping a record on others. Who's keeping a record on them? No. It's not about the workings of time. It's about the workings of eternity. And the workings of time are manifestations. These are testimonies.
Right.
Very important. Very important. Amen. But they're not determinants as to who you are and what God has already done. Because he did it before you got around to there being a question of whether you're doing it or not doing it. Oh, no. That worked that way. This erroneous theme is herein considered in three aspects. Number one, the incapacity of human depravity. Number two, what is involved in salvation and regeneration. Number three, the ministry's role in conveying scripture doctrine. What is our role? First, as we look at the incapacity of human depravity, the synergist notion, the synergist, there are those who are saying that this thing is a cooperative effort between you and God.
Right.
Salvation is based upon God's part and your part. The saints used to sing the song when I was small. What more can he do? What more can he do? He has laid the foundation, opened up the way. What more can he do? Well, the answer to that is he did it. He did all of it. Amen. And there's nothing dependent upon you to do, not for salvation. So the sinner's notion is that when we receive that, and this is in the commentary, and some of the ministers and theologians, some of them I have great respect for. I could call names. I'm not here to call names. Amen. But they've come up with this thing of prevenient grace, prevalent grace, common grace. And what they've taught us is that God has given us all
common grace and given everyone a mind to serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then you must make up your mind to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And we hear songs like that. I like the song the old folk used to sing, and it makes more scripture sense to me. When you see me walking right, God's using me. When you see me talking right, God's using me. That's not my mind flowing. That's God controlling my mind. Oh, my God. But they've taught that everyone is competent enough to make a decision to accept Christ as Savior if one freely wills to do so. The perception of this idea further averts that mankind is inherently profit with this common grace, which capacitates all to dedicate their lives to God. So not only do you have the ability, if you will to come to Him, but you have the ability, if you will, to serve Him. And that capacity is within you. Then the scripture blows a big hole in it. Huh? Uh-huh. It is He who worketh within you the will and the do of His good pleasure. So is God working in you, or you're just a vessel? Yes, a robot. Do it. Oh, my God.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
If God doesn't do it, it's not done.
Thank God.
It won't happen.
Hallelujah.
It can't happen.
Man.
Huh? And all the difference between when you do and when you don't is God is, amen, He's overruled and override the workings of the depravity and
right.
calls you to do that which you wouldn't do
right.
except, amen,
right.
He has decreed it and He is making you do it.
Right.
You say, what do you mean He's making you do it? He's causing you to do it. It's a big difference. It's a big difference between me in the spirit and me in the flesh.
Yes.
Believe me, you won't like me in the flesh. And some of you have seen me in the flesh. You don't like that. It's an ugly sight. I don't like me in the flesh.
Amen.
Woo, Pastor, yeah.
Same here.
Huh? No. We got to get out of this. And there are those that don't know the difference between the spirit and the flesh.
Yeah.
And it's a whole lot of flesh. Amen. Into these ministries these days. Huh? Jesus. It ain't about Jesus. Oh my God. Let me go on. Now, there's much written in the scriptures regarding the overwhelming testimony of the utter inability and spiritual death of depraved mankind. Paul spent an entire chapter just about talking about how bad depraved mankind is. And he used himself as an example.
He sure did.
Now, there are those that have said to me, he said, Pastor, no, when not, the other pastors, some have said to me, so Paul was talking about himself in his youth when Paul wrote that. Amen. No. It's in the present tense. And then some said Paul was talking about when he was Saul. But you got the present tense there.
Present.
Even in English, you got this. The present tense is the present. That means that's right now. This is what's going on right now. He said, there's nothing good in my flesh. No, then King James said that within me, that is within my flesh, there is nothing good. And so Paul is saying there's nothing good in the flesh. There's nothing good in my flesh. There's nothing good in my flesh. There's nothing good in your flesh. There's nothing for God to draw upon. Amen. He has to, from Him, put within you
right.
because what's in you, God can't use.
All right.
You all don't hear me.
All right.
Can't use it.
Amen.
And so this is why, amen, the scripture teaches us concerning the flesh. You give no occasion to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Put no confidence in the flesh.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Mind not the flesh. Walk not after the flesh.
Oh, my God.
Amen. What he's saying is, put the flesh down.
Yeah.
Your flesh.
my flesh. There's nothing good in it. So if there's nothing good in it, what can God use of the flesh? Nothing. Nothing. So he supplies it. He is the one that's doing it. Now, we have been studying and teaching concerning two covenants post manifestation at Calvary. There's the new covenant, which is God's contract with the Commonwealth of Israel. And then we have the grace covenant. The grace covenant is God's contract with the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
The body of Christ is composed of both Jew and Gentile.
Yes.
Slaves and free.
That's right.
Male and female.
Mm-hmm.
Young and old.
Mm-hmm.
No ifs and ands. Mm-hmm. There are no determinants. Because this body has only one head.
Amen.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the contract, I should say in both contracts, declare the exclusive message that Christ is Savior. There's only one salvation message. But also, that no one can accept them aside from being illuminated to that end by the Holy Spirit. I want you to stop and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. As there are some things in here that we must make very serious consideration of. Very serious. In order for us to progress and grow and mature, we have to walk honestly before the Lord. Time out for all these little games. In fact, time was never in for them. But actually, I'm saying, away with all these little games.
Amen.
We play so many games, we try to play games of God.
Yes, yes. Yes.
And you see, the knowledge of this brings us into subjection to the point that we recognize that our full dependence is on Him. We have no dependence upon ourselves and full dependence upon Him. All right. Everybody got 1 Corinthians 2:14? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, for those who teaching that there's something in you that gets awakened and you did this and you did that and it's your ability and so forth and so on, this puts it all to rest.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Brother Deacon, read.
From the
NLT. Yeah, start from the King James and then go to the NLT. Yep.
1 Corinthians 2,
verse. I'm going to a little bit of didactic delivery now. That means teaching. I said, Pastor, you're getting ready to turn it into a Bible study. Well, wherever it goes. Amen. But the most important thing is that you understand.
Yes.
We need understanding.
Right.
Okay? And I'm going to use a little Greek so nobody go crazy. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, read.
1 Corinthians 2:14,
mm-hmm.
King James. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God,
mm-hmm.
for they are foolishness unto him.
Mm-hmm.
Neither can he know them,
mm-hmm.
because they are spiritually discerned.
Now, even before even leaving the King James, Brother Deacon, go back, read that slowly, and everything that you see italicized, mm-hmm. do not even breathe it.
Okay. All right. Glory.
Again, 1 Corinthians 2:14.
Mm-hmm.
But the natural man
mm-hmm.
receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God,
mm-hmm.
for they are foolishness unto him.
Mm-hmm.
Neither can he know,
mm-hmm.
because they are spiritually discerned.
Not just them.
Amen.
Natural man doesn't know nothing, anything. Zip, zero.
Oh, my goodness.
These fellows talk about
robots. God gave me a mind that I can make to make a decision, and that's just pride,
mm-hmm. yeah.
arrogance, and even that's stupidity.
All of it.
What is a creature? That which create. What does it mean to create?
To make
and to design. Huh?
Yes, absolutely. Amen.
Omar Seale, Paul said, it is in, as he talked to those Athenians, he said, in him we what? We what? What? In who? In him. In him. You don't have your being, you don't even move. You only think, your thinking, oh my God, is enabled. Not only do we know very little, we don't know anything. Keep reading.
Verse 15.
Mm-hmm.
But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man.
And we'll clear that up in the Greek. All right, go to verse 16.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
What a statement to make. Let's go to the Greek. All right, those who have your inner lineal, turn again to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Brother Deacon, for context sake, back up to verse 11 in the Greek.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Greek interlineal text. Who foreknows of men the things of a man, except the spirit of a man in him?
That spirit was put in you, your mind was put in you by who?
God.
God. To know things according to that which he has determined that you would know that you would think.
Right, right.
So your thinking, listen, your thinking, your thought patterns, is that which God has determined. You see some old fool out there and you say, that old fool. The only reason you have more sense than him is because God has given you more.
Amen.
Because the same thing that's in him is in you. Amen. Except God has overruled it.
Amen.
Oh my God.
That's true.
Who's that? They said D.M. Moody said, except he saw an old derelict drunk. And he turned and he said, is it said? That he said. Except for the grace of God. There's me. Now, the only thing that you know is that which God, and the only thing that you think is what God has determined that you would think. So, oh, Pastor, what are you saying? Didn't God give us rational minds to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? In Revelations, it says that the spirit of deception will come upon them so that they will what, do what?
Believe a lie.
Believe a barefaced lie that should be so obvious. Where did it come from?
God.
So who determines what you think?
Uh-oh.
God. And it goes to the elect and the non-elect.
Yes.
They don't like that term, non-elect.
Oh, no.
But if you were not elected, then you're what?
Non-elect.
They don't like the term election.
Because they want to teach that you choose God. That's God
right.
doesn't choose you.
Right.
Well,
that's what they want to teach.
And Ephesians 1 and 4, amen, tears down all the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Say you were chosen in him before the foundation. What does the before the foundation of the world mean? So if you weren't chosen, you were not elected. If you were not elected, then you're the non-elect. Finish that up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Further in verse 11.
Uh-huh.
So also the things of God
mm-hmm.
no one has known
mm-hmm.
except the Spirit of God.
Except the Spirit of God. And only what you, the only thing spiritual you will know is what the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
conveys to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't you give yourself credit for knowing Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You look at someone else and they don't know Jesus and you say, "Woo, they don't know Jesus." The only reason you know him is because the Holy Spirit has revealed him to you.
Right.
The only reason you love him is because
right.
the Holy Spirit
right.
has caused you to love him.
Right.
The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. How?
By the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Tell the truth.
Verse 12. Give me 10 minutes, and I just have to bail out this morning.
1 Corinthians 2:12.
Uh-huh.
And we not the spirit of the world received, but the Spirit from God, in order that we may know the things by God. Freely given to us.
He gave them to us so that we would know him. And if he didn't give it to us, we wouldn't know him. We would be just like the world. Don't know him.
Just like.
Mm-hmm. So when you read this, how can you say that a depraved, natural mind can perceive enough of God to choose him? God must give you the information and then overrule the depravity for you to do something with the information. Which means it's not you. Let's go to verse 13.
Which things also we speak, not in taught of human wisdom words,
mm-hmm.
but in taught of spirit,
mm-hmm.
with spiritual things comparing.
Comparing spiritual with spiritual. There, I exegeted this verse, and I'm not going to do it here. I've exegeted this verse in the document, The Spirit of Truth. Some documents may still be back there. Mm-hmm. We're going to restock the shelf. I'm happy to see the material disappearing. Mm-hmm. But spiritual with spiritual. The ministry must compare spiritual with spiritual.
Right.
Many ministries are trying to compare spiritual with natural. Mm-hmm. Or use natural to get you to understand spiritual. It don't work. Spiritual go with spiritual. Natural go with natural. And never the two, amen, shall meet. They don't jive.
That's right.
Didn't the previous verse we read just say that natural man of the natural can't understand the spiritual? What is it about it we don't understand?
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So I get up here, and I'm not talking about world events, politics, or the social. We asked yesterday when we were in the ministering class, and in fact, that's the ministering class, not the minister's class.
Right.
Anybody that is free to come to it. Amen. I just warn you right now, that class is 3 hours long. But we basically was looking at some history.
Mm-hmm.
Some church history. The spiritual thing. Spiritual with spiritual. We look at ministries and what ministries have done. God, I know it's going to be a hard saying, God is not dependent upon these ministries.
That's right.
Say, if we don't do such stuff, folk won't be saved. That's a lie. God had never depended upon no man for anything that he... Y'all don't hear me this morning.
Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing.
And we were looking at the essence of those things that occurred and how ministries have failed down through the years and how doctrine has gotten twisted and so forth and so on. If you take election out of the formula, this thing doesn't work. If you take God saving men in eternity out of the formula, and then you say men are saved in time, you look down in the time and you see all of this mess is gone down, you say, huh? You look at certain eras where men in power, I mean, that's when church and state were together.
Right.
You see the edicts and the declarations and the decrees that were made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see the Bible being taken away
mm-hmm.
for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. People couldn't read it. So what are we going to say? Nobody made a decision during that time, so nobody got saved. You see the thousands of people that were killed
mm-hmm.
by the church.
By the church. That's right.
By the organized church.
That's right.
Oh, this is history that they hide.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
But it's there.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's right.
Crusades.
The Crusades.
Yeah. Amen.
Where great portions of areas and regions were conquered, and they say everybody here had to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have no choice but to make a decision if you want to live.
Sure did. Sure.
You either became a Christian or you died.
Amen.
That just blows a hole in that choice business.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the mind of God
mm-hmm.
that He gives for the purpose of testimony. Say, read that again, Brother Deacon, the last part of that verse.
Verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
It says that, but in word...
Verse 12.
Okay. It said, but the Spirit from God, in order that we may know the...
So that...
We may know...
We might know what?
The things by God.
All right. Amen.
So freely given to us.
That's free to give to us, and He gives it, and it's not based
yeah.
upon what's going on down here. Man. Did God save people in that era? No, He saved them in eternity. What are people that lived in that era that never knew the truth and understand the truth? The elect of God? Yes, because He saved them in eternity, not based upon what was going down under the rule of some pope or some bishop.
Yes, right. Amen.
This thing don't make sense. What about election?
Amen.
Read verse 14 and then we'll drop. We'll pick mm-hmm. up there next week.
But a natural man
mm-hmm.
receives not the things of the Spirit of
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
For folly to him they are.
Mm-hmm.
And he cannot know
mm-hmm.
To know, because spiritually they are discerned.
Cannot know. He cannot know. He can. There's nothing. There's nothing spiritual that you can know. There's nothing for God to appeal to. They say you preach the gospel and it's your faith, and then there are those that they get hung up into a corner because we say, well, faith is a gift, and then the synergists and the free will proponents said, no, faith is not a gift. What does man have that he didn't get from God? Huh? What is it that you have? Can you put your finger on anything that didn't come from God?
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, man. Glory to God. Amen.
So when we look at this thing, it's not even about us. It's not even about me.
That's right.
It's not about what you do. It's not what you think.
Hallelujah.
Someone asked me, and I'm reading the document, and I got about 50 documents, but I'm going to sit on them. I'm not going to, you know, I'll say. Don't worry. I give them out. But I got about three in the back. I'm going to hold those for a few more weeks, too. But they asked a question concerning the infant and the mentally incompetent and the ignorant.
Yes.
Because we've taught that a person must make a decision for Christ. Now there you in your depraved state without the knowledge to receive anything, because natural man doesn't receive the spiritual things. And you're going to make a decision with what? With what information are you making a decision? Since you're making a decision aside from God. Since it's your free will. How are you doing it? So we look, I wrote to this article, and I may just go and put this one out. I'll wait. The salvation, what about the salvation of the infant? The mentally incompetent and ignorant. We had a memorial for a stillborn baby. You see the confusion?
Yes, amen.
That's in the minds of some?
That's it.
Of saying that because the child never, quote, knew sin, they were not a sinner. Even that, I didn't tack on the age of accountability. So if you die before you're 12, your miracle go to heaven. But oh, if your 12th birthday comes and you die, you're on your own.
Well.
The mentally incompetent. You're going to sit down and explain the gospel to them. And they go on to make a decision. I was in church one night, and we called the church, and the pastor was sitting up there next to me, and he pointed out someone that we both knew that had some mental infirmities. He said, "You know what?" I said, "What?" He said, "God cleared up brother so-and-so in mind enough for him to get the Holy Ghost." I once said him, if he cleared up his mind for if he cleared up his mind to get it, why didn't he clear up his mind to keep it? Since you all teach him, now I got to get it, you got to keep it. What about the salvation of the ignorant? Now remember, in the Old Testament, in past dispensations, starting with Abraham, God had nothing to do with Gentiles. When Gentiles heard the word Jehovah, it brought terror to their mind because it meant bad news. What about all the Gentiles that lived back in those eras and those dispensations? Are we to say all of them were lost? They were ignorant. Or were they all lost? There are those who live in countries where the teaching of Jesus Christ is banned to this day. Those that were born in Nazi Germany were born in a system of atheism and died in a system of atheism and never heard the gospel. What are we to say? Somebody said, "Well, you know, God would make God, you know," but they taught us, and not to mention the guy that's way back up in the boondocks. I don't mean up in the hills of Virginia, in the hills. I mean way out somewhere in somewhere back up in the jungles or somewhere, as they would say, that never heard. And so where God would come, God would make him know enough for him to make a decision. Now you got to start making up stuff.
Amen.
Such an individual didn't make a decision. He didn't say a sinner's prayer. He didn't get baptized in Jesus' name, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And he wasn't sprinkled. And he absolutely didn't speak in tongues. I mean, his tongue was different, but it wasn't because it wasn't English. But I don't get you. So he spoke in another language. Because he... Foolishness. Foolishness. The only answer to this is election. And the determination of salvation in the essence of eternity of God placing those that he chose into the body of Christ before creation. And as you look at the infant that passes and the mentally incompetent, and you look at, amen, the ignorant of those that lived and died, amen, in eras, the dark ages, the millions and millions of people that lived and died, are you to say that all of them, amen, are in hell because they didn't make a decision?
Come on now.
The only answer is election.
Amen.
You put election into the formula.
Amen.
And the only reason you saved this morning is I take my seat.
Amen.
Because God decreed it.
Which
makes you a what? Which makes you, amen, a designed vessel of love. God designed you, oh my God, huh? As a recipient of his favor. And those that will be placed in the body of Christ. No, you cannot subvert, you cannot believe, nor can you surrender. Amen. You can show manifestation and testimony a belief in surrender. But that ain't what got you here. It's all by grace. And without grace, we're all lost. We'll take up next week. God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Let's give God a hand. Praise
God.